We're on the Mishnah Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis. And in fact, there are two Mishnahs on this page, so we'll start with the first one. And the Mishnah is going to talk about a case of a ziz, which is something that's a flat piece of stone that, or a couple of stones that jut out from the wall of a house. And the question is, you're in Rishus HaYochid, and you would like to place various objects on this ledge, on this ziz. And the Mishnah says, it's okay. Why the ziz itself has the status of Rishus HaYochid. And that's called ziz shelifnei hachalon. Now let's assume the ziz is 10 tefachim high from the ground of, let's say, outside this Rishus HaRabim, but it's also 4 amos wide. Then those people who are living there, let's say they lived in an attic or a high point, so they have this ziz, they're allowed to take chafotzim from their house and put it down on the ziz. And notlimimenu, in the reverse, they can take something out of the ziz, if it's munach al gabi ziz, and take it into their house. And all this can be done on Shabbos. Again, you wonder why the Mishnah had to go out of its way to mention an additional chiddush of notlimimenu. And I think we're going to only know this later on when we get to the case of kelim anishbarim. The Gemara is going to worry about the possibility of these kelim falling, and then he's going to go pick them up. But if they're very fragile, we don't have to worry that they'll fall. He'll be very careful that they shouldn't fall. And therefore, we're going to discuss situations where he places his kelim outside the house on the ziz, and we're going to differentiate between fragile kelim and not fragile kelim. And we might not know that those distinctions between different categories of kelim apply even when he's taking it into his house, because there, you know, when you take something into your house, you don't require the same level of carefulness to make sure that it doesn't fall. So Gemara asks the following question: Hai ziz demapik lehecha? In other words, it's going out where? We assume, says the Gemara, ilei mefak Rishus HaRabim, that it's going out into Rishus HaRabim. So it means your house borders on Rishus HaRabim, and the ziz is on top of Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara wants to know, what about a shvus derabbanan? Meaning the Mishnah seems to allow it lechatchila. Sometimes the Mishnah will say potter avolaser, but here it says notlim. It says noslim v'notlim. Frek the Gemara, there should be a gzera shvus lechush Dilma Nafil Vyasila Suye. This is something that should be very familiar to us, because in the very previous sugya, with the case of Golel, where he was holding on to the top of the sefer and the bottom part of the sefer fell down, we were always worried that if the sefer reached the ground and it's in Rishus HaRabim, he might be tempted tomorrow, even in a case where it's not Ogdo B'Yodo and he dropped it, that he'll bring it back in. And he'll violate the Melecha Sachnosa. And here too, the Gemara thinks that what happens if he places something on his roof and it might fall, and he's going to be tempted to grab it and bring it back into the Rishus HaYochid. Now, right exactly underneath the ground space, underneath the ziz at this point in the Gemara, is assumed to be a Rishus HaRabim. And if he grabs it after it falls from the ziv onto the Rishus HaRabim, he will be violating a malacha of Rishus Lushus of Achiv Chatos. Ella, what's your fallback position? Demapik Rishus HaYochid, that this ziv overlooks a Rishus HaYochid. Let's say, for example, he might have a chatzer in front of his house, which is surrounded by mechitzos, is pshita. Why would the Mishnah have to tell me that you're not allowed to put something on this ledge outside your house, when in truth you're allowed to carry it outside your house. It's a Rishus HaYochid. Omer Abayi Li'olam D'mapik L'Rishus HaRabim. And why is it that if the airspace below the Ziz is Rishus HaRabim, and we're not afraid that maybe an object will fall off the ledge and he'll retrieve it from the floor of Rishus HaRabim? And the answer is, B'mai Nosin all of the Ketani B'Kelim HaNishbarim. We're talking about fragile Kelim, which means that, let's say, for example, he has glassware, or Rashi gives an example of earthenware, that as soon as they hit the ground, they smash into pieces. And therefore, he's going to be very careful. He's not going to put them in a situation, in a place on the Ziz where they might fall into Rishus HaRabim. Not because he's worried about Hilchos Shabbos, but simply he's worried about the fact that it might break. And they're very fragile, these kelim. But Eino Chinami, says Abai, if these kelim are not fragile, then it's also to put them on the Ziz, because you might come to be choshesh that you should be choshesh that you might come to drop them. It's a very metal solid keli onto Rishus HaRabim, and then he'll be tempted to retrieve it from Rishus HaRabim, will violate Meleches Hachnosa Doraisa. Now, it's very interesting to me personally. I didn't get a chance to finish the sugi yet, but B'li Neder, what I would like to take upon myself is to really go through these halachas, because I think they're very common. Not so much here, because we have Erevin all over the place, but let's say you find a place where there's no Erev, or those who don't rely on an Erev, or in Chutzlar. So under what circumstances are you allowed, if you have a house that faces a Rishus HaRab, are you allowed to put Kalim out on the ledge? Now, it could be a very very relevant question, halacha l'maisa. Now the Gemara is going to support this with a brisa. Tanya nami hachi ziz shelifnei achalon hayotze l'rishus harabim nosnin olav ki oros v'kosos ki sonios v'tzluchios. So we're talking about either plates that could easily be broken, or glassware, or perhaps jugs that were used to hold beverages that were also quite fragile. Utslochios. These, again, different types of jars that they used to hold liquids in. And all of these, what's come to the fore, is they're all very fragile. They were made, Rashi says, of cheres, of earthenware. If they'll fall, they will smash and break. So we're not choshes that they might fall. From the fact that the brisa limits its din and its heter to the enumerated cases, the common denominator of which is they're all fragile, it would seem that kelim of this sort you're allowed to, but if they're kelim she'enam asuyim lishaver benefilos, if you have metalware, then it would be also because we're afraid that if he puts it out on this ziz, on this ledge, it might fall out into Rishus HaRabim, it'll then he'll bend over and pick it up from Rishus HaRabim. And this supports Abai's position that our Mishnah is referring dafka to kelim asuyim lishaver. Now the Braisa goes on and expands the dinim of a ziz. Umishtamesh Bechol HaKosel. Notice he's allowed to use the ziz, even though the ziz is stretched across the length of the kosel, and it might be below his window. And here, Tosus is going to try to explain what this Bryce is coming to be Mechadish. When it says Mishtamesh Bekol Haziv, and he says that this has something to do with what's called Chore Rishus HaYochid, or Chore HaKosel. And when he says mishtamish b'chol aziz, he means mishtamish b'chol chorei akosel. And you would think that there are higher chorim. There are certain parts of the, right, for example, if we learn Bab Metzia, so the second parak Bab Metzia will always come in contact with the higher parts of the kosel and the lower parts of the kosel. You know, if it's the higher parts of the kosel, it's called Derech Inuach. You know, then it's, if it's at a certain height, it's very easy and it's accessible. But imagine a case of a person who has a window and there's a ledge below the window. So it's not like he just puts his arm out of the window and he puts it on the ledge. He's going to have to bend down and lay it down on the ledge that's below the window. And you might think that that's not called Chorei Rishus HaYochin, because Chorei Rishus HaYochin only applies when it's Nicha Tashmishte, that the kosel and its crevices are very usable, very accessible. So the Kamashmalan here is that if, even though the ziz is namuch, it's lower than the chalon, than the window. It's kind of like the yisod of mizbeach, if you know what I mean. But ad asara hatachtonim, the ziz reaches till 10 tfachim of the tachtonim, which are the lower areas that are connected to Rishus HaRab. In other words, when he would go out of the kosel at a height level of 10 tfachim from the Kakel Rishus HaRabim, that's fine. But if the height of these zizim is from the Kakel up to Rishus HaRabim is less than Asar tfachim, then Asur lishtamish bo, then he's not allowed to use this ziz. So here we're going to have to learn a little bit about the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosis, and the Ritva and other Rishonim. Now, this halacha in the Braisa says that Mishtamish b'chol hakosel, notice he's allowed to use the ziz that's attached to the kosel from one side to the other. I mean, it's orech hakosel, even though it's below the window. And it's still considered Rishus HaYochid. But again, that's only if the ziz reaches up to asar tfachim hatachtonim, the lower 10 tfachim that are close to Rishus HaRab. So in other words, the ziz goes out of the kosel at a height of 10 tfach from the kak of Rishus HaRab. And that's called magia ad asar tachtonim, meaning there are 10 tfachim tachtonim in a karka that takes you up 10 tfachim from the Rishus HaRab up, and then you'll hit the ziz. So the ziz is yotzei min hakosel above 10 tfachim. But if the ziz is not above the karka of Rishus HaRab, a full 10 tfachim, then you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to put things from the house out to the ziz. It's almost as if we're viewing the ziz as part and parcel of the Rishus HaRabim, and if you are taking an object from your house and putting it on that low ziz that's within 10 tfachim of the Rishus HaRabim, it's almost as if the airspace of Rishus HaRabim includes even the top of the ziz, because the airspace goes up 10 tfachim. And therefore the ziz and anything you put on the ziz is considered a Rishus HaRabim. And all this has to be understood as to whether or not we're dealing with the Oraisas or the Rabbanans. So we're going to start with a summary of Tosfos Divra Maskil Umishtamish, which is the next to the last Tosfos on the Om. And he says the following, Hiksha Ri, Kashal Ri. I'll just read the words and then we'll try and understand it. Hainu de Seifa de Ketani im Yesh Ziz Lamate Ben Mishtamish Bo. He says the following, that this din of Mishtamish B'chol HaKosel is really a preview of what we're going to get in the next part of the Braisa. And the Braisa says that Mishtamish B'ziz HaTachton Kulo. So what's the difference between Mishtamish B'chol HaKosel and Mishtamish B'ziv HaTachton Kulo? It seems like it's a repetition. So therefore the Ri says that the Brice has in mind, in this case, that Yochol Ishtamish Gam B'chol Chorei HaKosel, that we're not only talking about the Ziz itself that juts out of the Kosel, but also the Chorim in the Kosel. And that's what it means when the Brisa says kol, right? Kol hakosel. What it means is the parts of the kosel that have crevices in it. Otherwise, it should say bechol aziz. Why didn't the Brisa say? Asks the Ri, umishtamish bechol aziz. And instead it says, Umishtamish B'chol HaKosel. It must be referring to the Chorei HaKosel. Okay, the Ritva says that Rashi is right, that the Brice has in mind the Zizim HaBoltim in HaKosel, not the Chorei HaKosel, but the Zizim HaBoltim in HaKosel. Ah, you'll ask me, so what's the Chiddush? And basically you're repeating what we know, that Mishtamesh, just 1 second, what was the language again? Mishtamish b'ziv ha'tachton kulo. Ha'chidish hu she'mishtamish b'chol ha'zizim ha'boltim me'al kosel ad asor tfochim ha'svuchim l'yishas rabin af im heim shel rabin. Now, if I understand this Ritva correctly, it's impossible. Meaning I must be making a mistake somehow. The Ritva seems to say that these Zizim are not privately owned. They're not, as we understood it, you know, we live in a very private kind of, private house kind of neighborhood, right? So we always assume that I own my apartment, I own my building, I own my Zizim. The Ritva is assuming that these Zizim, and that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, Heim Shel Rabin. I mean, those are the words of the Ritva, that's not my word. And the reason why the Braisa uses the term, this was Tosa's objection to Rashi, of B'chol HaKosel, it doesn't say B'chol HaZiz, is to indicate that B'chol HaKosel means that even the Zizim that belong to the Rabin. So it means that the Bryce is coming to add a new principle that you can have something that is accessible to the Rabbim and it's owned by the Rabbim, and nevertheless it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. So for example, let's say we had a public area, a park of some sort, and we surrounded the park with mechitzos, then it would still become a Rishus HaYochid, even though it's Shel Rabin. It belongs to the rabbi. And the Ritba says that this din applies only if hazizim einam mechuvanim zet hachazeh. There's one here on the left, one on the top, and one on the bottom right. Ach imem zet hachazeh, if one ziz is on top of the other, mutol ishtarish be'elyon, rak kenegeda chalon. Shatachton oser olam. So what it means is that we said that these zizim have to be above asara tefachim, and what we're going to have is you have many zizim, some of which are keneged achalon and some of which are not. Now the bottom zizim are asurim because they're below 10 tefachim for whatever reason we'll get to. And now what we're going to allow you is to use zizim that are on top of those zizim that are asur, meaning on top of 10 tefachim, but only because they are zizim shekeneged achalon. Now again, I'm not sure what he means by keneged achalon. I'm just going to interpret it on a very superficial level, and you know, don't take my word for it. But keneged achalon means there are zizim that shoot out from the window. And those zizim have a special status because they're keneged achalon. And they are going to be free of the shackles of a lower ziz, which is below ten tefach, which is asur. It's almost as if we're trying to, you know, put a sign, something to remind us that this ziv is different than ziz is different than the other zivim. There are many other zizim that are below 10 tefachim, and those are prohibited. This one is permitted because it's attached to a chalon. And that makes it sort of profoundly separated from all the other zizim, which again, according to the Ritva, heim shel rabbi. Now, in the case of a ziz, we said that if you have kelim She'enom nishbarim, Rashi, for his part, would say that you're not allowed to put that on the ziz, because if it's enom nishbarim, we're always going to be afraid that he might drop one of the kelim out into a sarab and then retrieve it. We're going to see later on that there are other rishonim that disagree, and they hold that the heter of ziz applies even to kelim she'enom nishbarim. Now, our brisa is mater zizim. Are we talking about kelim hanishbarim? Our brisa is coming to say you're allowed to put kelim out on your ziz. So what is that? Kelim nishbarim, meaning it's only fragile kelim. There are some rishonim who say that you're allowed to put out on a ziv even metal kelim. So apparently they're going to learn, those rishonim, that the reason why our brisa is limiting the heter of ziz to a case of kelim nishbarim, that's because it's a ziz she'ein bo arba al arba, which means that the ziz cannot be considered in and of itself a rishus hayochid. it might be above 10 tefachim, and for sure it has to be in order to be matir, but it's not a reshus hayochid. And why isn't it a reshus hayochid? Because it's lacking arba al arba. Now, then the question becomes, Hare kosher, sharek she'en bo arba arba al tefachim, af she'eno govo asor tefachim umokum p'tur. Right, why do we have to assume that if it's below Asar Tfachim, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim? It's not. It's a Mokum Ptur, because it doesn't have the dimensions neither of height nor of width. It's not 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim wide. So that's a question that we have to get back to. So again, let's read the Brisa. Mishtamesh Bechola Kosel Ad Asoret Fochim Hatachton, meaning we're only going to allow you to have access to the Ziz and place your Kalim out on the Ziz if the Ziz is above 10 Fochim from the Kark. If it's less than 10 Fochim from the Kark, it's Osulish Tamishba. V'im yesh ziz echad lemata imenu, mishtamish bo, ubaziz ha'elyon eino mishtamish bo, elo keneged chalono. If you have many zizim, one below the other, so then you're allowed to use the Ziz HaTachton. Again, it's above 10 Tfachim, so you're allowed to use it. But the Ziv Elyon ain't a Mishtamish Bo. So let's go back again and review the Ritva. The Ritva says that we're talking about Zizim abolte me akosel, not chori akosel the way Tosus has it, but mishtamshim bechol azizim abolte me akosel, right? All the zizim above 10 tefachim, af sheim shel rabim, v'din zehu rak im azizim eino mechuvonim ze tachas ze. Aval im heim ze tachas ze mutul shtamish be elyon rak keneged achalon. So I think if I understand the Ritva's point over here, when we're saying that ziv elyon is a problem, meaning im yesh ziz echolamata imenu, is then you mishtamesh with the tachton, but not with the elyon, unless the elyon is kineged achalon. The reason why we're generating an iser on the elyon is because it's mechuvanim Zetach hazeh. If it's eino mechuvanim zetach hazeh, is then mutul shtamesh. Just one second. I just want to get the facts down on the ground. If the zizim are not mechuvanim zetach, they're you know, haphazardly placed around the kosel, that's one din. Then we have another din if it's zetach hazeh. And if it's zetach hazeh, then we have a problem with the elyon, unless it's keneged achalon. And we're going to somehow view I'll just say it in a general sense, all the zizim as one, if they're zel gabi zeh, and the bottom zizim are also because they're below asar tfachim, then even the ziza elyon, which in and of itself should be mutam, because it's integrated together with the other zizim, if it's zel gabi zeh, it also becomes asur, unless it's keneged achalon. Now, we have to answer a few questions here. Number one, why should the ziz ha-tachton be in any better position than the ziv ha-elyon? And we're going to be matir taking out a kli from the house out into the ziv ha-tachto, but not to the ziv ha-elyon if it's lined one on top of the other. Again, the ziv ha-tachto is also gavoa asar tefachim. And then we have to answer another question. If somehow the ziv ha-tachto generates an isur on the ziv ha-elyon, then how does keneged achalon mitigate that isur? He writes, "Kol ma she'asurim l'shtamish b'ziz, haynu laniach al gabov chafotze." So again, we're going to see exactly, you know, what kind of hanocha al gabi aziz is awesome. And then a third question we could ask is, according to the Ritva, if it's eno mechuvanim ze tachas ze, why is that different? And there we're going to have a greater leniency, and we don't even need keneged achalon for a ziv ha'elyon. And then finally, we're going to have to ask the question whether or not the heter is limited to fragile kelim, or it applies even to kelim shenin nishbar. So again, im yesh ziz echa lamata mimenu mishtamish bo, biz b'el yone mishtamish bo, el k'neged chalono, hai ziz hechidomi, let's talk about the ziz ha'elyon, which is only mutter k'neged achalon, is hechi dami. Idoles pe'ar ba. Why should we be worried about the ziz ha'elyon? If it's a makom p'tur, it doesn't even have the width of what tefachim. Ah. Just 1 second. In other words, what are we saying? That the ziv elyon is asur if it has less than arba tfachim. Is afilu keneged achalon nami lo yishtamish. That's counterintuitive. Why does the Gemara think that afilu keneged achalon nami lo yishtamish? What are we afraid it might fall into Rishus Ravid?
If it's less than 4 tefachim, and there's space is very narrow, and there's no room to put things on.
Ah, so it's more likely to fall.
Yes.
And if that be the case, what do you gain by keneged achalon? We should always be afraid that it'll pick it up from Rishus Ravid.
Unless you include the sill of the window itself. That could be mashlim the 4 tefachim.
So again, if we're talking about a case of lespe arba, is then makom p'turhu, is afilu kineged chalon and amish tamesh. We shouldn't let him use the ziz, even though it's kineged chalon, because those kelim are very likely to fall in such a narrow area into Rishus HaRabim. V'i de'isbe'ar bo is be'kulei kosel l'shtamesh. Why do you limit yourself to a heter? Of what? Of the Keneged Achalon. Every single ziz should be mutav ishtamshus. Because it's all a Rishus HaYochid. It has Arba al Arba Tfachim. So what I understood here, Bekule, it means every single ziz. And that would give us Keneged Kolako, so not just Keneged HaChalon. Basically, the Gemara doesn't understand why does the existence of a ziz below a ziz, why does that interfere with the use of the ziz above it? If the use of the ziz above it is such a narrow place, we're always afraid it's going to fall, that's one thing. But if we're not afraid it's going to fall because it has the dimensions of our bat fachim, so it's a Rishus HaYachid, so why does the fact that there are lower zizim, tachteim, why should that in any way undermine it? Amar Abaye, the tachton de ispe arba, the case is where the tachton has arba tfachim, the elyon de lespe arba, the chalon mashlimaso li arba, lochein keneged achalon mishtameish de chore chalonu. Dahai gisa u dahai gisa. Awesome. So again, according to Abaye, the Ziza Tachton has Arba Tfach. So therefore, there's no question that Ziz should be Mutter. It's above 10 Tfachim. It's 4 Tfachim square in its Rochav. And therefore, there's no reason why it should be also. That's as far as the Ziva Tachton. Now the Elyon is less bearable. However, the Elyon, if it's attached, and if it's less than Arba Tfachim, we should be more afraid that he might come to take it from Rishus HaRab if it falls. So the Elyon lespe arba tfachim. He says here, klomar kevan sheyesh rochav arba beziz atachton. So the tachton, as we said before, has a rochav arba.
That is no problem.
Right. Kevan sheyesh rochav arba beziz atachton arei Rishus HaYochid, and that's fine. But why is it also to mishtamish with the ziva elyon? It doesn't have arba, and mishum shaziza elyon nimtza b'toch rishus haziza tachton. That's what we were suggesting before, that somehow we integrate all these zizim, and the Ritva adds that proviso that it's one on top of the other, directly aligned. So now that the ziz ha'elyon has no arba al arba tfachim, then Mishum shaziza elyon nimtzu b'toch rishus haziza tachton. He says, but the ziza tachton, which has arba, now sets up some sort of rishus, such that the ziz on top of it becomes part of that rishus. Ach im gam haziza elyon rochav arba nifsak bo rishus hatachton umaskel rishus haelyon. So if the ziz haelyon, let's say if it's going to be mashlim with the window, it has the dimensions of arba, then it becomes a separate independent rishus and it doesn't fall into the rishus of the tachton. Mikomakom gam kisha ein bo arba mutul shtamish bechilik shekineged hachalon mishum sheze nechshav kizovis shel hachalon v'achovas rishus ha'elyon. In other words, now because it's attached to the chalon, it now gets its own independent status. It's no longer swallowed up, so to speak, by the tachton. So let's read Abaye again. Amar Abaye, tachton de is be'arba, elyon de les be'arba. However, chalono mashlimoso le'arba is keneged achalon. Is mishtamish. Why? Because the chalon has 4x4 tfachim. Again, if you add the chalon, the ziz ha'elyon together with the chalon now is mash. Yet now you have arba labra tfachim. Is now that ziz becomes a separate entity? It's a rishus. It's a rishus hayochid bifnei atzma. But then, this is what confuses me. He says, keva dechore chalonhu. In other words, somehow the chalon and its width, I guess, somehow swallows in the ziz, the windowsill is now the window itself somehow expands to include the sill, to include the ziz, and that's called chore chalon.
That the ziz is 2 tfachim wide,
and the chalon is another 2 tfachim wide.
Right. So then that area. It's fine. You can put stuff, you can put things on that area because it's 4 tfachim.
And that he calls chalone, chore chalon.
Yeah, the area of the chalon.
It's the extension, so to speak, of the chalon. But what does he say here? The high gisa. Now he's got part of the ziz on this side and part of the ziz on that side. Those are not extensions of the chalon. Is asur. They don't have arba al arba. If they don't have arba al arba, they don't set themselves up as a separate rishus, and therefore they are, so to speak, considered as part of the rishus of the tachton, and there's no heter. He says, b'ziv ha'elyonim ein bo arba al arba tfachim. Is kevon shehaziz ha'elyon nimtza b'toch rishus ziz ha'tachton. And that's only because the ziz ha'elyon has no arba tfachim. Ach im yesh la ziz ha'elyon arba rochav arba nifsek bo rishus. Right, in other words, there's a hefsek between the rishus ha'tachton. Umaschil Rishus Elyon.
Can you stop for 1 minute?
Sure.
This is the Ritva is confusing them. let's start with an easy thing. You have the Z's outside the window, and it's swords fucking wide. Everybody agrees you can use it, if especially if it's these bars. Right? Fragile items you can put there, because you're not afraid that they're going to fall on you. Simple. Right? Second case. Let's say it's not sports fogging, it's only tooth fogging outside your window. And the windowsill itself is tooth fogging. So then you can put it there, nishborit, because again, it's sports fogging. However, on each side of the window, it extends, but it's only tooth fogging. You can't put it there. Now, if you have, that's with one Z. Let's say if you have two Z's in next one onto the other. If both of them are four tefachim, it should be okay, correct?
Right.
Okay? So if the bottom one is four, and the top one is only two, but the chalon is moving, so the area of the chalon is good, but the extension on either side of the window are no good.
Right, but what I'm trying to figure out here, he says that... When he's trying to explain Asur Lishtamesh Ba'elyon, Baziza Elyon, right? That's not the case where either A, you're mashlim with the Chalon, or B, where the Ziz itself has four Tefachim. He says, in that case, why is the Ziz Asur? He says, since the Ziz HaTachton has the Rochav of Arba, and that sets it up as Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, also Lishtamesh V'Ziz HaElyon, Emein Bo Arba L'Arba, Mishum Da Ziz HaElyon Nimtza B'Toch Rishus HaZiz HaTachta. That's the part that I don't kha.
I agree with you.
And that's where the Ritva, you know, wanted to suggest that this isn't a problem if each ziz is separate from the other ziz, and it's not one on top of the other. Let me just see. He quotes a Meiri. Let's see, by chance. He says, Madua oser hatachton es ha'elyon. Now, this is already a more of a deeper insight, perhaps, into this sugya. He says, Madua oser hatachton es ha'elyon, kasher yesh betachton arba tfachim, and I guess we could add, v'ein be'elyon arba tfachim, and there's no chalon. He says, din zeh, again, I don't know if this is going to help or hurt us. He says, din zeh hu dafka kasher aziz ha'tachton shayach le'odom acher. Aval im ein shnei hazizim shayachim le'odom echad, if they're owned by two different people, ein aziz ha'tachton yochol lesar es shimush be'elyo. Me'achas Shneim Rishus Achasim. Just one second. Yeah, and now he's throwing in another variable into the equation. And that's the ownership issue, which we touched upon before, but we spoke about if it's owned by the Rabbim. He's asking, what happens if the Ziz HaTachton belongs to Reuven, and the Ziv HaElyon belongs to Shimon? And then he says that the ziz of Reuven on the bottom generates an isur onto Shimon to use his ziz ha'elyon. Again, although in the case where there are four tefachim on the bottom and less than four tefachim on the top. Aval im shneim shayochim la'adam echad. And now Reuven owns both the tachton and the elyon. Is ein haziz atachton oser es hashimush bi elyon? Me'achas shneim shavim Shneim Sheyachim Lo Ademecha Virshus Achase.
I think what's going on here is something to do with Avir. In other words, the Tachton, since it's above 10 Tvachim and it has the Rochav of Arba, it sets up its own Rishus. And the Avir above that Rishus is Ola Adler Akia, right? We have a principle in Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akia. So if you have something within the airspace of Rishus HaYochid that doesn't qualify as Rishus HaYochid unto itself, then it becomes part of the greater Rishus that's set up by the Tachton. And now he's qualifying that. And he's saying that only applies if you have Reuven and Shimon, so that Reuven has a right, so to speak, based on his ownership of his Ziz HaTachton, to null and void the Ziz HaElyon as an entity that is attached to the house where that person lives. Again, it's not attached to a Chalon. But the moment it's both Reuven, it's Reuven who owns both the Ziva Tachton and the Ziva Elyon, now we don't view the Ziva Elyon as part and parcel of a Ziva Tachton in a way that should be Batel, but on the contrary. If Rishus HaYochid is all around Rakia, then Shimon has a right to say, well, my Ziv HaElyon is part of the Avir of my Ziz HaTachton. But again, we never found, again, I never found anyway, in the context of Rishus HaYochid, that we define the Rishus by who owns it. So that's a bit of a problem. All right, Rabbi Osei, let's just learn, if you don't mind, the Mishnah, and then we'll call it a day. This Mishnah deals with Hotzah Mishus L'Shus and Tiltil Dalanamis Mishus Arabim, and the Mishnah wants to Mechadesh that you're allowed to take a Chefetz in Mishus Arabim and be metaltal it, even though you're standing in a Rishus HaYochid. So you're standing in Rishus HaYochid, the object is in Rishus HaRavim, and you want to move it from one part of Rishus HaRavim to the other within Dalet Amos. It's Omed or the Rishus HaYochid. So he's standing in his house or on his roof, and he bends down, Umetaltel Rishus HaRavim, and he could move something from place to place in Rishus HaRavim. And it means we're not afraid that he's going to take this object back to where he is, which is Rishus HaYochid, and then violate Meleches Hotzah D'Oraisa. And the same applies Birshus HaRamim, if he's standing in Rishus HaRamim, Taltel Birshus HaYochid, and we're not afraid that he'll grab it into or out to the Rishus HaRamim. U'bilvad shelo yotzi chutzmi arba amos. In other words, if he's standing in Rishus HaYochid, he's metaltil something in Rishus HaRabim, he's got to guarantee himself that he's not going to take it more than 4 amos. And finally, Lo Yamod Adam Rishus HaYochid V'yashtin Rishus HaRabim. Right, so it's almost as if he's taking his urine from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabim, and that's Hotzah. Or the reverse, Rishus HaRabim Yashim Rishus HaYochid. V'chein lo yarok. And if he projects his saliva from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, that's also prohibited. Rav Yehuda Omer, af mishe nitlash ruko befiv. In other words, even after he has a collection of saliva in his mouth and he's about to take it from one rishus to the other, lo yahalech arba amos ad sheyarok. He says, me'achav arok ha'nesaf b'peh Lo tzame apehu omed. What do you do? It's saliva that fills up your mouth. You get rid of it. And therefore, it's not considered part of your body. And you're carrying it. And if he carries it for Amos and Shisarabim, he's going to be chayv achatas. So again, Ruko Befiv, when he's talking about he's got saliva that's gathered in his mouth, then he should not walk for Amos and Shisarabim because he's carrying the saliva and it's considered a masa. So that before Rabbi Yehuda, all we had was Lo Yorok. He should not spit from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. And now we're saying that although he's not doing a Maisa of Yorok in the Sefer of Rabbi Yehuda, he's only walking from place to place. He's not spitting out his Rok. Nevertheless, by the very fact that the Rok has collected in his mouth, Rabbi Yehuda insists that that also comes under Meleches Dalet Amos Bishus HaRav. It's really interesting because it seems like if you want to spit within one Rishus, that's not a problem, but if you want to carry your spit in your mouth from one Rishus to the other, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, that becomes a problem. Now the big chiddush here of Rabbi Yehuda is because we have a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos Tzadi Beis, and the Mishnah says Hamotzi Mishus L'Shus K'Shachefetz B'Piv Potur. So let's say, for example, you're holding on to a utensil in your mouth, then you're not chayav for carrying that utensil with you in your mouth. That's not called darko. But rok, on the other hand, our Mishnah, it's quite common that he would not immediately spit out his rok. He would allow his rok to accumulate in his mouth. He since regilus he lo tzim v'peh chayim. So it means two things here. There are really two chidushim in Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, that rok in the mouth, even though he's not spitting it, is considered masa. He's carrying it when he goes from place to place. And number two, it's ragil to carry rok in your mouth. And therefore, it's not like the case where he's carrying a kli in his mouth and he walks for Amos and Rishus HaRabim where he's potur. Here he's going to be chai. You know, it's interesting, I think about spitting, they say, I don't know if it's true, don't quote me, that Reb Chaim on Yom Kippur used to spit a lot, because he was always afraid that he might swallow his spit, and that would be violating the Isser of Achila on Yom HaKippur. Again, that's a brisk chumra, but I'm just saying, it might have a basis here in Akamara, because if your spit accumulates in your mouth, it's considered like you're carrying something. It's already foreign to your body. So therefore, Reb Chaim maybe took it a step further, and he said, if I swallow it, I'm like swallowing something that's not part of my body, but it's external to my body. Yeah, I mean, again, I just made that up. I mean, I didn't make up the story about Reb Chaim. I mean, somebody else may have made up that story. I didn't. All right, let's make a note of where we got up to. We're here on the very bottom of Tzadik Ches Amid Beis. And we're up to the Gemara of Masni La Rav Chinina Bar Shalmi. We'll do a quick chazara in English on what we did. The Mishnah says if there was a ledge that's 4 tfachim wide and 10 tfachim above the ground in front of a window, so the ledge juts out of the exterior wall of a building below a window,
is then one who is in the building may put things on the ledge and remove things from it on Shabbos because it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid. And the ledge is considered an extension of the window in the house, and it comes under the category of Chorei Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara asks, into which type of domain does this ledge extend? If it extends into Rishus HaRabim, why is somebody permitted to use it? Why shouldn't we be afraid that something might fall off the ledge into Rishus HaRabim and one would be tempted to bring it back into the Rishus HaYochid? Certainly, it would be appropriate to institute a rabbinic decree over here, a shvus, to safeguard the possibility of the biblical transgression. The Mishnah, therefore, which permits the use of the ledge, can only be discussing the case of a ledge that extends into Rishus HaYochid, but then pshita, then it's obvious. So Abai says that even though the ledge extends to Rishus HaRabim, there's no gzera here. And the reason for it is because we're talking about breakable utensils, earthenware or glass. Since they will break if they fall off the ledge, there's no concern that he might retrieve them. And the Gemara quotes a brisa to support this. Now, the last clause of the brisa says that if there's one other ledge below it, which is also 10 tefachim above the ground, then he can make use of that one. In other words, that even though the lower ledge is not as easily accessible as the upper ledge, he can still make use of it. But ube elyon, however, one may not make use of a higher ledge, ela keneged chalono, unless it's directly opposite the window. Now, hai ziz hechidomi, what's the circumstance of this higher ledge? If it is not four tefachim wide, then it's a makom ptur. One may not use it, even if it's opposite the window, because since it's so narrow, most objects placed on it will fall off, and therefore one who uses it appears to be throwing objects directly into the Rishus HaRabim. A makom ptur, which lies between a Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYochid, it's permissible for people in the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus HaRabim to put things on it. However, since it is narrow, and it's not really fit for this type of use, it may be used only on an occasional basis to adjust one's load on it. Now, using it on a regular basis is forbidden because of the concern that objects placed on it are likely to fall off to the Rishus HaRabim, and it would appear as if one is throwing them into a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, a ledge that is less than four tefachim wide may not be used even for breakable items. If, on the other hand, it is four tefachim wide, let him use the ledge along the entire length of the wall and not just opposite the window. Omar Abai says the bottom ledge is four tefachim wide. The top one, the upper one, is not four tefachim wide. However, the windowsill completes the width of the upper ledge to four tefachim. So the combined width of the upper ledge together with the window is four tefachim. And one may use it where it's opposite the window because of chorei chalonu. It's part of the ledge and it's an extension of the windowsill. Dahai gisa u dahai gisa asar. However, on this side of the window and the other side, one is forbidden to make use of the ledge, since those parts of the ledge are narrower than four tefachim. So he doesn't mention the Ritva over here that we discussed at great length in the shir. All right, we'll stop here, and we're on the bottom of Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis, and we were talking about urinating from one rishus to the other, etc., etc., and that Bli Neder will pick up tomorrow.